Please turn to Hebrews chapter 11. To introduce our lesson, we want to read verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. As you examine what the Bible has to say about Noah and his ark, there are a number of valuable lessons to be learned, and several of those lessons are included in the bulletin article for today. And the writers of that particular article, I think, were quite creative. Some of the points are, rather ingenious, but there are some valuable lessons to learn from what the Bible has to say about Noah and the ark. You know, that's one of the great miracles that people often ridicule and mock. Jesus believed that Noah lived, and Jesus believed that the flood occurred. Well, if our Lord believed it, that ought to settle it. But there are some valuable lessons to be learned from Noah and the ark that he built. Well, our lesson is based on the verse we just read a moment ago, Hebrews 11 and verse 7. And we want to concentrate for a little while on five lessons to be learned from Noah's faith. This particular verse is quite easy to outline. It just falls into five statements, and they all relate to Noah's faith. And we would do well to learn what this verse has to say concerning these matters that relate to the faith of Noah. The first statement, and this is the first point we want to make, this is the first lesson we want to learn. Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now, to fully appreciate and understand that statement, we need to consider a few verses back in Genesis chapter 6. The point being made is that Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. Exactly what does that involve? Well, we need to understand that in Noah's time, man had become very wicked. Look at verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, God did not make man in a corrupt state. God made Adam and Eve in a state of innocence. They made the decision to transgress the will of God. And they were informed that when they transgressed the will of God, they would die. Well, you know how the snake came along, the serpent, and tempted Eve to eat the forbidden fruit, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She gave in to the temptation. She ate some of the fruit. She gave some to Adam, and he ate it as well. At that point, sin entered the world. Things changed. But by the time Noah came on the scene, now keep in mind that a number of generations have passed, the population on the earth has grown tremendously since the days of Adam and Eve. But this verse sums up just how wicked man had become. But mark it down, God did not make man in that state. Man got into that state because he wanted to. He made the decision to transgress the will of God. Well, man's wickedness affected God to the point that God decided to destroy man as well as the animals that he had created. Let's look at verses 6 and 7. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God was so upset because of man's wickedness that he decided to destroy man as well as the animals that he had created. But oh, how we need to appreciate the very next verse. Verse 8 is a wonderful statement. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now we know how wicked man had become. We know how God felt about that. But there was one righteous man on the face of the earth. His name was Noah. Now, why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Look at verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Notice several things that are stated about Noah. They explain to us why he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a just man. He was perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. Consequently, God decided to spare Noah from the destruction that he was going to bring upon the earth. Now look at verse 13. Now we're looking at these verses for the purpose of helping us understand that Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. We pointed out how wicked man had become. We pointed out how God felt about that. We pointed out what God decided to do. Look at verse 13. This verse shows us that God informed Noah that he was going to destroy the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Well, now God said he was going to destroy the earth, but how? Look at verse 17. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. God decided to destroy the earth with a flood of waters. Now that was something new. That had never been seen before. Man had never seen a flood like that. Now remember, we're illustrating from the book of Genesis what the writer of Hebrews was teaching when he said that Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. We know why God decided to destroy the earth, because of man's wickedness. Well, we know now how God was going to destroy the earth. He was going to use a flood of waters. That was something new. No one had ever seen a flood like that before. But through his faith, Noah believed what God had said. You know, Noah did not stand there and argue with God and said, I don't believe I've ever seen a flood like that before. God said it. Noah believed it. That settled it. Well, through his faith, Noah believed what God had said. Well, what exactly caused Noah to listen when God warned him about something that had never been seen before? That brings us to the second statement that we want to consider in Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Noah was moved with fear. We know that Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. What caused him to respond to what God told him to do? Noah was moved with fear. I don't know about you, but when I hear the word fear, I think about being afraid of something. That's the way we use the word. Sometimes the Bible uses the word fear in that sense. But more often than not, the Bible uses the word fear to refer to reverence or respect for God. And in the Bible, fear and obeying God are often joined together. For example, in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, Solomon gave the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Well, Noah's fear moved him or motivated him to do something. What did Noah's fear move him to do? That brings us to the third statement that we want to look at in Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. Noah was moved with fear. What did his fear move him to do? Well, he prepared that ark. As you examine what's written in the book of Genesis, you will see that God gave specific instructions for building the ark and placing the animals inside. You know, God even specified the type of wood that was to be used. He specified gopher wood. Now, don't ask me what gopher wood is, because I don't know. But I know one thing. It was available, and no one knew what it was. Now, you could say, Raymond, build something out of pine. Well, I'd understand that. Or you build something out of oak. I'd understand that. Don't ask me what gopher wood was, because I don't know. The important thing is Noah understood. But God specified the kind of wood that was to be used. He gave specific dimensions for building the ark. You know, if God had just said, Noah, I want you to build this great big ark, and left it at that, then Noah would have been free to make some decisions about the kind of wood he would use, the dimensions, and so forth. But when God specified what he wanted, that eliminated everything else. Now, God didn't have to go down the list and say, now, Noah, I don't want you to use this kind of wood or that kind of wood. When he specified gopher wood, that eliminated everything else. Now, a lot of people don't understand that principle when it comes to studying the Bible. When God specifies in his word what he wants, that eliminates everything else. But some people take the approach, well, if God hasn't specifically condemned something, then we're free to do it. That's not the case. The Bible teaches us, whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, Colossians 3 and verse 17. That means we're to do those things that the Lord has authorized us to do in his word. And when he authorizes a particular matter, that eliminates everything else. I think I've used this illustration many times, but I think it makes the point. Years and years and years ago, before I got my driver's license, I had a bicycle. And sometimes my mother would say, Raymond, I want you to go over. We had a neighborhood market where I lived. It was called a Minute Market. Everybody went there for convenience. It was a very successful little store. I wish we'd go back to those days where you could buy something locally in your neighborhood, but that's not the case. But sometimes my mother would need a few things that were available at that little Minute Market, and she would say, Raymond, I want you to get on your bicycle, and I want you to go over there and buy whatever it was, a gallon of milk, or a loaf of bread, or a dozen eggs, whatever it was. She would tell me what she wanted me to get. Now, when she specified, get on my bicycle, that meant that don't walk. You're certainly not old enough to take the car. You don't have a driver's license. She didn't have to go through all that. When she said, get on your bicycle, that specified what she wanted, and I had to make a choice. Would I do what she wanted me to do or not? Well, I learned early on, years before that, when Mama said something, you do what she says, or there were consequences. Well, when she told me exactly what to go buy, she didn't have to go down the list and say, now, Raymond, don't buy a Snickers candy bar. I still love them to this day. She didn't have to say, now, Raymond, don't buy one of those Pepsi-flavored ices that you love. And I used to really love them. She didn't have to go down the list and tell me what not to get. When she told me what to get, that eliminated everything else. And besides that, she gave me the exact amount of money to buy what she wanted, so there was none extra. She removed the temptation for me to try to go beyond what she said. Maybe that will help in some crude way to illustrate the point that's being made. When God specified to Noah how to build the ark, He did not have to go down the list and tell Noah what not to do, because when he told Noah what to do, that eliminated everything else. Noah understood that. And it seems to me that people living today ought to be able to understand the same thing. Well, God gave specific instructions for building the ark and placing the animals inside. I want you to notice in Genesis 6 that Noah did exactly what God told him to do. Genesis 6 and verse 22 says, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Also, look at chapter 7 in verse 5. "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him." Those verses are very explicit, aren't they? Noah did exactly what God told him to do. Now, for just a moment, let's tie in a statement in James chapter 2 concerning faith. You see, by obeying God's instructions, Noah was demonstrating his faith. Let's look at James chapter 2 and read verse 18. James chapter 2 and verse 18 says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Let's apply that to Noah. We know that Noah did exactly what God told him to do. By doing so, he was demonstrating his faith. One of my favorite miracles of Jesus has to do with the occasion when he healed the man who was afflicted with palsy. Jesus was teaching in a home, and it was packed. Some men had a friend who couldn't walk. They wanted to bring him to the Lord so that the Lord could heal him. But when they got to the place where Jesus was, they could not go inside because there were so many people. I love how industrious these men were. The man had four friends. They went up on the roof of the house, took back some of the roofing, and let the man down. And if you compare all the gospel accounts, you will see that the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. That's a wonderful statement. Now, is faith something that you can put in a container and see? No. It's active, though. And when Jesus saw the actions of these men who brought their friend to be healed, he observed their faith. Well, I think we can say that about Noah. Noah did what God told him to do. Consequently, he demonstrated his faith. That brings us to the fourth statement made about Noah and his faith in Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Noah condemned the world. Now, we need to be sure that we understand what that means. Did Noah condemn the world in the sense that he destroyed it? No, that was beyond his power. God is the one who destroyed the earth. But Noah did condemn the world. How did he do that? Noah condemned the world by refusing to be like the world. We know how wicked man had become, but Noah did not go along with everyone else. There's an interesting statement found in 2 Peter 2 and verse 5, which says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Now, his preaching was designed to save the world. Only his family listened. There were 8 souls saved in the ark. Noah, Mrs. Noah, their 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. Those were the 8 souls saved in the ark. And you know, Noah didn't build that ark in a day or two. It took him a long time. I'm assuming from what the Bible says that while he was building the ark, he was trying to get people to repent. But no one listened to him. Now, Noah refused to be condemned with the rest of the world. He knew that he had to obey God even if no one else in the whole world did. We would do well to keep that in mind today. We have to be faithful to God and His Word even if no one else does. Sometimes people want to compromise to make God's Word more appealing to more people. Well, when we do that, we've transgressed the will of God. Noah understood that he had to obey God even if no one else on the face of the earth did. But Noah refused to be condemned with the rest of the world. In that sense, he did condemn the world. That brings us to the fifth statement that we want to point out concerning Noah and his faith from Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Noah became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That is, by his obedient faith, Noah received the reward that God had reserved for him. Well, let's make a few points of application. We certainly need to understand correctly what the Bible has to say concerning Noah's faith, but then we need to make proper application. There are so many things we could talk about concerning Noah and the ark. Well, let's apply what we've just talked about in reference to Noah's faith. You know, God warned Noah about things that have never been seen. God has done the same things for us. He's warned us of things that have never been seen. All right. Let's look at a few scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 3. We want to read a few verses starting at verse 10. And Peter tells us in these verses that when Jesus returns, by the way, no one knows when he will come back. But when Jesus returns, everything will be burned up. 2 Peter 3, starting at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Peter is very explicit in showing us that when Jesus comes back, everything will be burned up. It can't be made any clearer than what Peter made it. Have you ever seen any destruction like that? Well, we're familiar with forest fires and the damage they can cause. Sometimes I think about what happened on 9/11. And there's an image that's burned into my mind. I can't get rid of it. I see the smoke rising up over New York City. And I remember thinking at the time, is that smoke ever going to go away? It just burned for days and days and days. But think about everything the earth, the elements, everything in the universe being burned up. Have you ever seen anything like that? I haven't. I don't think you have either. Do we believe that that's going to happen? I do. Why? Because God said so. Just as God warned Noah about coming destruction, things that had never been seen, he's also warned us of things that have never been seen. I've never seen that type of destruction, but I believe it's going to occur because God has said so. Let's consider another warning. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Those who do not obey the gospel will be punished. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? I've never seen eternal destruction of a person's soul. Have you? I don't think so. But the Bible says it's going to occur. How do we know that these things are going to occur? Well, the same way that Noah knew that the earth would be destroyed by a flood. You see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 that we walk by faith, not by sight. That's what Noah did. He set a wonderful example before us. Noah was warned about things that had never been seen, and he acted on God's warnings. Well, the Bible gives us some warnings about things that have never been seen. We ought to follow Noah's example and be prepared. Well, just as fear moved Noah to obey God, fear ought to motivate us to do what God wants us to do. Let's let Peter tell us about this in 1 Peter 3, verses 20 and 21. What does God want us to do in order to be prepared for that coming destruction? 1 Peter 3, verses 20 and 21. Which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When the Lord gave the Great Commission, he told his apostles to preach the gospel to every creature. He then said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Peter's writing about here. And he's using an illustration from what happened to Noah and his family. There were eight souls prepared for that coming flood. They were in the ark. They were spared. Well, to be prepared, we need to follow the Lord's instructions. You know, Noah refused to be like the rest of the world. We emphasized that earlier. In that sense, he condemned the world. The Bible teaches us that we must not be conformed to the world. Let's look at Romans 12 and read verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Rome. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Just as Noah refused to be like the rest of the world, the Bible teaches us not to be conformed to the world. Rather than be conformed to the world, we're to be transformed. And, of course, if we remain faithful unto God, we will receive a very special reward. That's the way that Hebrews 11 and verse 7 concludes. Noah received what he was promised as a reward. Revelation 2 and verse 10 says, be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now let's look at Hebrews 12, verse 1 for just a moment. Throughout chapter 11, we read about the faith that was demonstrated by a number of great men and women from the Old Testament. Noah's just one of them. Recently, we spent some time looking at all these great Bible characters and the various ways in which they demonstrated their faith. Noah's just one of many. When we think about Noah's example and the example set by these other great Bible characters, we ought to be encouraged to do what chapter 12 and verse 1 teaches us to do. All the information in chapter 11 is leading up to this concluding statement in verse 1 of chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Noah's faith ought to encourage us to do what this verse teaches us to do, that is to run with patience the race that is set before us. Sometimes when I'm watching a news program, I enjoy listening to interviews that are conducted. If the person being interviewed has something worthwhile to say, I'm usually able to learn something. So I enjoy listening to a good interview. Now, some of them are not too good. I don't enjoy listening to them. But quite often, you can learn some valuable information as a result of listening to a good interview. Imagine someone sitting down and talking with Noah and asking him about that great flood. Do you think he'd have some words of wisdom to share with us? Well, Noah's been gone a long time. But just like Abel, he being dead yet speaketh. We're able to read about his faith. We're able to learn from his example. And he teaches us to listen to what God says. And when God tells you what to do, just do it. You will be blessed eventually.